We are in the book of Malachi this morning as we continue our study. We're going to be looking at Malachi, the second chapter, verses 4 through 9, as we continue our series on this wonderful last prophetic book of the Old Testament, written about 400 years prior to the arrival of Christ in his first coming. So there was a 400-year period of silence in the written word of God between Malachi and the coming of our Lord. But God, in chapter 2, continues his discourse through the mouth of Malachi. You'll notice as you read Malachi that God speaks in first person in a good part of Malachi. So he continues here through the mouth of Malachi by clearly addressing his message to the priests who are God's representatives to his people Israel. How important the priests were. God established the priestly system that he could speak to the people through the priests. They were God's representatives to his people Israel. But the warning that is given in Malachi is clear, that they are to give glory to God, and as such, they are to hear the word of God and to lay it to heart. You remember, folks, that we are here to bring glory to God. Our lives are to be about bringing glory to God. We have a purpose on this earth. God has created us to bring glory to him. And this is what the message to the priests is, to hear the word of God, to lay it to their hearts, and therefore bring glory to God. Now, lay it to heart means take it into your heart or put it into your heart, for unless God's word is laid in the heart, there will not be good treasure to bring forth good things. Now, you know, testimony, a public testimony, is a wonderful thing because if it's properly done, it reaches into the heart and brings out God's word in the testifying. But if there's nothing in the heart to bring out, there's no testimony. But God expects us to lay treasure in our heart, to take it in our heart. For how does honor and glory come from a heart to which there have been no deposits of God's treasure? You know, you go into the bank with your bank book and you give it to the teller and you say, I'd like to have $1,000, please. And the teller looks at that and says, I'm sorry, your balance is $10.17. You haven't deposited anything in here to take out. Well, God expects us to deposit things in our hearts in order for it to be taken out, not just to rest there, but to be taken out as good treasure. God expects his word to be obeyed from the heart, but that requires that it be laid in the heart. And that requires that his word be heard from the heart. And God has so ordained his priests to live a godly life, and that can only be lived with a heart taught by God. You know, you can pretend to live a godly life. You can put on an image of a godly life, but a true godly life is a godly life that is taught by God. So he warns them to hear. Now, do you come to Sunday school to hear, or does your ear drift away from that which is being taught? Are you trying to lay things in your heart that you hear from the Word of God, or are you trying to lay things in your heart from the culture and from the way of the world? But we're here to lay things in our heart from God's Word, and he warns them to hear, and from that hearing, glory is to be brought to God. So it all works together. God has created us in Christ Jesus that we might bring glory to God, some through our good works. But here in this part of Malachi, the second chapter, God brings to their mind the covenant with Levi. Now you remember Levi, one of the sons of Jacob. God chose him to begin the priestly tribe. for the whole of Israel. And he brings to their mind the covenant that he made with Levi, the priest's parent tribe, and this covenant is rich with the requirement of priests to give good instruction. That was one of their duties, to give good instruction, to be a mouthpiece from God, a messenger carrier from God to the people. And this was the covenant with Levi. So let's read in Malachi 2, 4 through 9. And I hope you bring your Bibles. I hope that you open your Bibles. And I hope you read along silently with the teacher. You know, you have a responsibility to keep my feet to the fire. And you do that by nobility, just like the Bereans. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But we all have a responsibility to help us be straight and be true. And you as a listener have a responsibility to check and get your Bibles open and read along with me. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, God's speaking here. My covenant was with him for life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Now, it is clear in this passage that sound teaching comes from one who lives a righteous and godly life, one who practices what he preaches. I remember hearing that as a boy. I don't know if it was my mother or my father, but it was practice what you preach. You know, I didn't preach, but there was a message there. Practice what you preach. You know, it's so easy to preach, but do you follow what you preach? And this is what it's talking about here. Sound teaching comes from one who lives a righteous and godly life. There has to be a life in back of the preaching, is what we're talking about. Now, Levi feared God. And that fear brought him and his tribe to preach the law of truth, and his preaching was undergirded with lips where iniquity was not found. My, how lips are projecting iniquity today. You can hardly turn around and lips are projecting iniquity, iniquity, iniquity. Your ears just get so tired of hearing the lips of iniquity today. But in Levi's tribe, God says iniquity was not found in their lips. Now his priests were to be counsel to the people, for the priest's lips kept knowledge, and the people were to be confident when they sought the law from the mouth of the priests. What is the priest's mouth for? To keep knowledge. It's not to just spout anything that they wish to spout, have a big mouth, but it was to keep knowledge, to project knowledge to the people, for the people sought the law from the mouth of the priests. So the priests, being the messenger of the Lord, this is what they're called here, they're called the messenger of the Lord. Now think about that, a messenger. What's the responsibility of a messenger? And as the messenger of the Lord, they were to speak as if such speech were coming from the Lord, for they were to be diligent to know the word of the Lord. They were the mouthpiece for the Lord as the messenger. And of course, Levi, the priestly tribe, was to be committed to impartiality, not showing favor because of rank or power or wealth or status. You know, that's hard for a pastor to be impartial. It's hard for him to rise above showing favor to certain people. You know, it's like teachers having teachers' pets. Teachers have to be careful about having teachers' pets and showing partiality in the classroom, showing fairness in the classroom, not favoring one over another because perhaps they have family status and they show favor. Well, the priests were of a sort like that. But by God establishing a priestly tribe, he brought into being teachers, not with messages of their own, but with messages from God. This is what the priests are for. This is what the pastors are for, to be messengers of the word of God. Now God begins this chapter, and now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. Oh, God is authoritative. God speaks from above. God speaks as the head of all. And he says to the priest, this commandment is for you. So he uses this word commandment for commander's command. This is becoming absent in our own country, where authority is being leveled off and equality is being preached. But commander's command, commandments come from the top, and they are aimed at those below. You know, we're below. We're below. We're not God. We're not equal with God. We're below. Abraham, we're told, commanded his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord. Now, Abraham, he eyed all of his family. Hey, I don't want you to do that. And oh, they held back and they said, yes, sir. He commanded his family. This is not to be in our family. I'm in charge. God put me in charge. And God wants me to command you because I am his servant. But he commanded his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord, for Abraham was at the top and his children and his household below. God commands and his children are to obey. God commands the priests, and they are not to take commands as suggestions, but as marching orders. You know, they didn't say, well, you know, I'm going to consider that, God. I hear your commandment, but, you know, I'm going to take that under consideration. You know, I was in the military for a good bit, and some of you were in the military for a good bit, but I never took a command as a suggestion. Nor was that kind of thought even entertained, for it was beyond the pale, P-A-L-E. And that means it outside the bounds of acceptable behavior. It was never even considered by underlings to alter commands. You did what you were told in the military, and you said, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, as you took the commands. So God is a commander, and we are the underlings, are we not? So God augments this absolute by calling the priests the messengers of the Lord of hosts. Now the messengers, so this is their rank. This is their title. Now in that title, it describes their duties. For a messenger does not add or subtract from the message. He does not try to improve the message by autocorrect or erasure or insertion. You know, he's not, here's the message from God. You know, I think God could have written that a little bit better. I think this is too harsh. Oh, I think this is too soft. I may insert this and that. because I think the people will receive this message better if I change it. But that's not the responsibility of a messenger. The message is not a matter of personal liking to be delivered only if approved by the messenger. Now, John the Baptist came on the scene. God said, I want you to be the forerunner of Christ. My son is coming. I want you to announce his coming. But he had no right to alter the message of the Lord, for he was given the task of being the voice in the wilderness, preaching repentance and preparing the way of the Lord. That was his message. God did not appoint John messenger to show off his creative talents, but to faithfully be the forerunner of his son, our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Now, did John carry out his messenger duties? Yes. He did it to the death. He lost his head by following and obeying God as the messenger of God, preaching about the Christ that was coming. You know, think about the modern issue wherein false messengers forget that God has said, male and female created he them. That's the message. Male and female created he them. That's the message that preachers and pastors are to project, because that's the message of God. God has declared only two genders. But Satan says, I can top that, and I will give you 31 genders. Can you imagine that? Satan, the author of confusion. God said two, and Satan says 31. He's busy. Satan's busy today, is he not? Going about confusing, bringing evil, trying to overturn every edict of God. But God's commands are not subject to redefinition depending upon the times or the era or the age. God's commands do not alter by the culture. Now, commanders are authoritative, and commands are given to benefit the ones commanded. Just think about that principle. Disobedient to commands bring risk. They bring danger. So you do that, you disobey commands at your own risk and danger. Commanders are above, and those commanded are below. You know, we ought to know our place. Where is your place? Well, I'm under God. God's the commander. I have to fear the commander because he tells me this for my own benefit. And priests are to know their place. Parents are to know their place. And children are to know their place. And this knowledge out of whack puts all things out of whack. You know, if you throw sand into a gas tank, it puts the engine out of whack. If you throw this stick in this moving machine, it throws that machine out of whack. And the same thing occurs when we disobey God's commands. But our pastors have been called to be messengers of God and are to faithfully deliver God's message to us. They've been given the ability to explain and apply God's word. Isn't that wonderful? Do you thank God for your pastors? You know, they labor every week. Oh, let's see, what am I going to do this week, God? Give me a message. Tell me a message so I can communicate to my people. Oh, every week they are praying to the Lord for help in this time. But they've been given the ability to explain and apply God's word, but they are not free to tweak the message. They're not free to tweak the message or to soften the message or to make that which is negative into something positive or positive into something negative. That's the world's way. Let's take this negative and make it into a positive. That's the world's way. But God's way is to faithfully proclaim the message, whether it be hard or soft, loud or quiet. They are not to go about speaking things from God's word that are meant to offend in a way not meant to offend. You know, there's much in the Bible that offends me. I look at this, oh, that offends me. Praise the Lord, it offends me because it's designed to bring me about to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's not easy, to be conformed to the image of Christ. You know, you have to go through offenses and overcome those offenses by the grace of God. But as faithful messengers, they are not to be in the business of softening or hardening the message. And also, the hearer of the message also has a responsibility to keep the messenger on track. The nobility of the hearer is judged by keeping the messenger's feet to the fire, by searching the scriptures daily, after receiving the word with all readiness of mind, whether those things were so. You know, do you listen to your pastors? Do you listen to your teachers? And you say, I wonder if that's so. I better check the word of God. You go home and you check the word of God, and the word of God says this, and he says this. I've got to tell him. I've got to talk to him and tell him that I know the word of God is right, and perhaps you preached in error. So your nobility of the hearer is judged by keeping the messenger's feet to the fire. But a thinking and listening congregation will do much for a pastor's faithfulness to the preaching of God's word. You know, if a teacher goes into a class where all the students have an A record versus all the students have a C record, there may be even a difference in how that teacher responds to that class. It shouldn't be, but sometimes there is, because he knows that the students are going to think and judge what he has said versus the students just sitting there not doing that. So a thinking and listening congregation will do much for a pastor's faithfulness in the preaching of God's word. So we are both messenger and hearer to be alert to the purity of the deliverance of God's word. We are not to desire to have our ears tickled. You know, some folks keep trying to find a church where their ears will be tickled. So they go from place to place. Let's see, what's the tickle ratio in this church? Oh, this church didn't do it for me. It just doesn't have it for me. Doesn't make me happy. I'm going to go find one that'll make my ears tickle. You know, Paul records in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, it takes endurance to hear sound doctrine. It takes a good soldier, as it says in the Bible, to endure hardness. But after their own lusts, there's what moves them, they shall heap to themselves teachers having what? Itching ears. Itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear, not the word of God. They want to hear platitudes. They want to hear soft messages. They want to hear messages that make them feel good, that uplift them in their own self-love. So both messenger and hearer are complicit in the keeping of the knowledge of God through his word. You know, God provided Adam and Eve the most perfect of environments. God provided Adam and Eve counsel as they walked the garden in the cool of the day. But God also provided a warning to not spend time considering that which God forbade to consider, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, God knew Satan was there to confuse and to corrupt. And unless God's word is paramount in our lives, we too will be confused and corrupted. This is the light. There's no other light. And if you don't walk in this light, there's no other light to walk in. This is the only light. Jesus Christ said, I am the light. He didn't say there's a bunch of lights. He said, I am the light. Singular, this is the light. You walk in this light, otherwise you'll be confused and corrupted. But this is what came about in the lives of the priests and what comes about in the lives of many pastors and teachers whose lips do not keep knowledge. For messengers who are not faithful to the message will not turn many away from iniquity. You know, that's one of the responsibilities of our pastors, is to preach the word of God that he turned many away from iniquity. Repent. Repent from iniquity. But today, false messengers preach messages of self-reformation. Turn over a new leaf. You know, the problem with turning over a new leaf, there's so many leaves. So many leaves. You go out in the backyard, you rake your leaves up, and what do you have the next day? More leaves. There's no end to leaves. So you can keep on turning over new leaves and never come to a finish. Self-improvement. Oh, so many self-improvement courses. Self-awareness, self-esteem, the salvation of education, or even change of environment. That's what preachers and pastors who are false preachers and false pastors preach. But God's faithful messenger turns many away from iniquity by telling the truth of God's word. I am so blessed to have been in this church for over 40 years and to have the truth preached. Oh, a lot of times it stung. A lot of times it caused pain and hurt. But you know, if you have a cancer in your body, it takes pain and hurt to get rid of that cancer. You have to suffer to get rid of that cancer. But I'm so thankful that we've had God's truth preached, the truth that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, what a message that is, to be told that you come short of the glory of God, for all have sinned. But the problem of mankind is not a problem that can be solved by the wit of man, the intelligence of man, the psychology of man, or the inventiveness or technology of man. You know, man thinks that technology will save. Man thinks that technology will bring us into new worlds. And we're looking at our little devices as we go around playing the games and so on. Man thinks that technology is the way to truth and life. But that's false too. God created man, and he knows our frame thoroughly and completely. Our true problem, you know, it's an amazing thing how the true problems are shunned in favor of problems that they think they can solve. But the true problems, the problems of the deep problems, are shunned by man, for men have no solution to their true problem, which is total rebellion against our Creator, a rebellion against having a commander who commands. I will not have this God to rule over me. The fool hath said in his heart, no God for me. And he's basically saying, I will not be told what to do. I will not be commanded. Sin is simply rebellion against God's command, insisting instead we need not have anyone to rule over us. You know, we were told the thoughts of William Ernest Henley, who wrote the poem Invictus. And in this poem, he said, it matters not how straight the gate. Now think about that phrase. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Now think about that. The words of the arrogant who think they are in charge of their soul. He charged against the scripture and cast away the words of Jesus who said, "Straight is the gate." Straight is the gate. He said, it matters not how straight the gate. And he said, narrow. Jesus said, narrow is the way. And the scroll that he refers to as being the books that are opened in judgment. It matters not. For I am the captain and the master of my soul. You know, he was the atheist. He insisted it mattered not, for he is the master of his fate, the captain of his soul. He has rejected the faithful messenger and heaped to himself those who turn not away those from iniquity, but turn many to iniquity. That's the side that he's on. And like all before him and after him will travel the broad way to destruction. You know, you can say those words, but it means nothing. Because you do not control what happens after your last breath. You know, you're not in charge. You know, you can decide to go here, you can decide to do this, you can decide to work here and do that, but when your last breath is done, all those choices are gone. And now you're not captain of your soul. So it does matter how straight the gate. So pray for those who have been called to turn you away from iniquity. For iniquity is the way of plague. Iniquity is the way of hurt. Iniquity is the way of the despised, the way of those devoted to destruction. Remember, we talked about that word cursed, which means devoted to destruction. And it's amazing. Most of the people of the world are devoted to destruction. This atheist was devoted to destruction, and on the way he pridefully said, I'm the captain of my soul. But pray for those who have been called to preach God's word to not show partiality in their preaching and instructing and expounding. Now, why does a messenger fail in abstaining from partiality? Is there personal gain to be realized? Will catering to a particular person or group bring him profit? You know, 2 Chronicles 19:5 through 7 said this, and he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord. See how the attitude is here? Who do you judge for? Are you judging for the praise of men, or are you judging for the praise of God? What a different attitude that is it not? Are you serving others for the benefit to get praise from others, or are you serving others to get praise from God? So you judge not for man, but for the Lord who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Note what is to move a judge or pastor in this direction of impartiality. It is the fear of the Lord. Do our pastors fear the Lord? Do preachers fear the Lord? Do those that judge fear the Lord? It is an ever-present mind that pictures himself at the judgment seat facing this very same Lord for whom he serves. You know, that's a part of the fear of the Lord. How will I stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and answer for the things that I've done? Will I have to answer for being partial? Will I have to answer for showing favor to those that can show me favor? Or can I judge impartially? You know, God is not a respecter of persons, for his judgments are always without partiality. He has declared, this is so simple, This is such a simple idea, a simple statement. But God has declared that all men fit into one category. God is so, it's so easy in God's economy. The devil would have 31 categories. He'd have 31. God has one category, the category of sinner. He calls all of us sinners. We all fit in this category of being a sinner. But not only that, all men are deserving of eternal judgment, and that judgment is damnation for each and every man and woman, for all come short of the glory of God. We all fit into that category. There is nothing in man, absolutely nothing in man, that will save him. You know, people try this and they try that, but it all fails. There's nothing in man that will save him. No race is favored. No amount of wealth or position is preferred. No good works will move God to save. Men are saved on the basis of God's sovereign choice, which has nothing to do with man's merit. Men are saved on the basis of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary in the sinner's place. Jesus Christ took my place on the cross. He said, I'll step up for Ludwig Opager, and I'll die for him. And I claim that as my only means of salvation, for that's what God tells me. That is grace. And grace is unmerited, unearned, and has no debt. And grace does not come with an IOU. I have no IOU. I don't go to heaven and God says, well, I saved you, now you got to work for me. Your servitude is eternity. No, that's not it, because I can never pay off grace. God will not expect, nor can any payment be made throughout all the endless ages of eternity for such great and wondrous salvation. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it's time to praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And the blessings of salvation, the blessings that He is not a respecter of persons, that He didn't show partiality because I have this status and you don't, or you do and I don't. No, He saved us on the basis of the blood that His precious Son shed on the cross. Amen? Amen. Father, we are thankful. So thankful for the simplicity of the gospel. Oh, it's so simple. The devil loves to confuse the simple things of God and brings in all kinds of ideas, all kinds of confusion. But Lord, if we concentrate our hearts and our minds on the simple word of God, we know truth, we know light, because light and truth dwell in Jesus Christ. Light and truth are Jesus Christ. Do bless us now, Father, and bless our pastors. Help them, Lord, to expound and apply the word of God to our hearts. And help us, Lord, to be attentive listeners, listeners of nobility like the Bereans, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.